to the WyoNation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
You are listening to the WyoNation.com podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and joining me is the founder of WyoNation.com, Mr. Brad Reed.
Hey, where's the applause at?
There is no applause this year. Budget cuts.
Oh, man. I knew that was going to happen to us.
Yeah, budget cuts. So we're glad to be back. We sat out last year because of all kinds of logistical nightmares, boys and girls. And the Cowboys damn near brought us a conference title.
We could give applause to that, just, you know, our golf clap.
Golf clap, you could probably, it's barely audible, but so welcome back. So yes, the podcast, we plan on doing it most weeks this year. It is back, and we're happy to have you along. So we're here tonight, Brad, because of the college football season has actually started with this week zero nonsense.
I tell you what, we got a real nail biter out of Hawaii and UMass the other night.
Oh, I don't even know they played.
You and everybody else. But yeah, Hawaii, you know, pulled out a 3,500-mile road trip and a win against the Minutemen, whatever they do, I guess.
What was the score of that game?
I think it was like 35-38, something along those lines.
Well, there we go. All right.
Yeah.
Warriors.
Rainbow Warriors.
Where are they going by this year?
You know, I don't think it matters. They're going to go by the Rainbow Warriors as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. And they do come to Laramie this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Kind of a bummer for Pokes fans who were banking on another trip to the islands.
Well, we'll get them next year in the islands.
We should probably increase the travel budget for that.
And I'm looking, yes, September 23rd, Hawaii comes to Laramie.
That's a shame.
Let's think about that for next year.
So we're going to have to increase the travel budget from $0 to what?
Several thousand.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a thing, I'm sure.
So, all right, boys and girls. So here we go. So let's college football's here. It's already started. As we just said, Wyoming will travel to Iowa City to take on the Hawkeyes of Iowa University in Iowa City.
Yeah, that Kirk Ferentz is now probably the longest tenured coach in college football, I'm sure. And Hawkeyes were a good team last year. They, they play some good old fashioned Midwestern football. They, a lot of beef up front and just beat you over the head until they wear you down. They're not a real exciting product, but they seem to win football games.
Yeah, it's a matchup of two programs with kind of similar mindsets. We have a little more pizzazz right now because we have this guy named Josh Allen you might have heard of.
I heard he's pretty good. He's been named to like three or four watch lists. And, you know, he's on Feinbaum the other day. And
Can you believe that? He was on Feinbaum. He was on Jim Rome's show. I haven't listened to it.
I think they were on the same day, even. Feinbaum and Jim Rome.
Yeah. So the
I can't believe Paul Feinbaum has discovered that the West and Northwest actually exist outside of SEC country.
That's true. He interviewed someone who plays west of the Mississippi.
That I find that amazing for Paul Feinbaum.
It is.
Are we allowed to clown on other media people?
We are, most definitely. Okay. And that's the beauty of podcasting is there are no rules.
It's true.
No rules, just right.
They're going to have to come into our mom's basement to find us, too.
That is definitely the case. So, all right, boys and girls, so let's talk about this. Depth chart did come out last week, but the final one for the season starting did come out this week, and there's only one change due to injury, and we'll get to that. So we're just going to run down kind of the expectations for both sides of the ball, talk about what we see on this depth chart, and to get you all ready for football on Saturday morning. Remember, it's an early kickoff, those dreaded early Big Ten kickoff times.
I can't believe the people of Iowa – well, actually, I should believe that the people of Iowa City get up that early to tailgate.
Oh, they do.
I hear those people really like their RVs and tailgating and whatever else they do.
All right, so let's start with the defense here, Brad. Now, Steve Stannard, one of my favorite people, was let go. And Scotty Hazleton, who coached with Bull at NDSU and has been with the Jacksonville Jaguars the past couple years, is coming back in to work with Bull as the defensive coordinator. I think this is a big year for the Wyoming defense, Brad, because Coach Bowl as a defensive coach, and it's time that they produce.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, you ran the numbers multiple times and probably emailed them to everyone who would listen that the defense was just not getting it done last year. And Bowl apparently read your email and decided to make a change. So Scotty Hazleton, I imagine, is taking significantly less more money to come coach defense for us. And he's got a reputation. I mean, Jacksonville's defense, despite how bad that team was, they weren't slouches by any means. So I think he's going to be
offensively.
No, I think they're going to be tremendously improved this year, which is about time because we've needed, you know, we haven't had like a great defense since Joe Glenn was here with Mike Bresky. Is that the last time we had a pretty good defense?
And they were average at best.
Yeah, they were like top 50-ish.
I don't know. What year would that have been? Do you know off the top of your head?
2007?
Yeah, that's a long time. This is 2017, so we're talking like 10 years. So, yeah, so let's just go back here a few years. This is Bowl's fourth year, correct?
Sure.
Sure?
Sure. That sounds right.
Sure. Okay. So the defense allowed 32.8 points a game in his first year, 34 points a game in his second year, and then 34 again this last year. So that's just not going to cut it. That's why the change was made. So 2017 is a big year for the defense. And as we'll talk about, the offense, we can't expect them to put up the lofty numbers they did. Now, they very well may. It's possible, but we can't expect it. So for Wyoming to stay competitive in this mountain division of the Mountain West, which I think is going to be pretty good. I mean, we saw what Colorado State did in their new stadium. Oregon State's no good, but they put up a lot of points. Air Force is bound to bounce back. New Mexico gave us a tough game last year. You got Boise. So we're in a tough division. And to win this division and to win a conference title, you're going to need that defense. So let's start with this, the defensive line. Brad, and that's been another big focus of me forever. And when I look at this depth chart, the number one thing that jumps out to me is the size. I think this is the first time in like 17 years that we actually have a two-deep depth chart where you could look at the defensive line and you don't see someone who is crazy undersized for Division I college football. So let's just run through it here really quick. We'll start with the nose tackles. We got Sidney Malalalu, of course, coming in at 6'3", 310 pounds. He's your starting nose tackle. You got Yofana Kefan, another big boy, 6'4", 290. So that's some meat in the middle. And their backups are pretty big too. Connor Kane is at 288. And then Brett Gillian's at 288 as well. On the ends, we welcome back Carl Granderson from his injury, and he's up to 6'5", 255. Think about that.
Last year, I think he came in at what, like 210, 220, something like that?
He did, and I think he came into the program about like 180 or 190.
So yeah, he's
put on 65 pounds of muscle.
That's some significant gains from Carl Granderson. And I'm not going to go out and say he was like a game changer last year, but he was more than disruptive, you know, being, you know, at least 30 pounds undersized. Yeah. So seeing him at 255, and if he could keep some of that speed and technique that we saw last year, I think that's going to be a phenomenal defensive end for us.
That's right. And then backing him up is Kevin Prosser, who played a lot last year, obviously, with Granderson's injury. And then on the other defensive inside, you got Josiah Hall, who is the safety dance guy.
And we do love the safety dance even still to this day.
Yes. And then backing him up is a guy who's kind of come out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure he's a walk-on, Garrett Kroll from Hicksville, Ohio. He's a redshirt freshman, 6'4", 240. And he's impressed in fall camp.
Good on him for being, you know, a redshirt freshman cracking the two deep. You know, that's not unheard of, you know, with this team that Bowl has inherited over the last 4 years, but it's a tribute to the guys that, you know, Bowl is bringing in that redshirt freshmen are cracking the two deep.
No, that's right. And really, it's a lot of the same guys coming back. They're just bigger, stronger, some position changes. So the defensive line is where it really happens because we've struggled with the run game. And another thing that I've harped on, I think it's been like, what, 5, 6, 7 years in a row where we've given up over 200 yards a game on the ground. You can't play winning football when you're just getting gashed like that. I don't care how good the running backs are in the Mountain West. You can't do that. So I think the key is the defensive line finally having that size. If they do their job holding up that offensive line, it stops those offensive linemen from getting to the second level and allows our linebackers and our safeties to make plays. So with that, let's get to the linebackers. And how about you give the folks out there what that linebacker depth chart's looking like?
Well, on that linebacker depth chart on our strong side, we've got Jalen Ortiz starting. Then in the middle, we've got the sophomore, Logan Wilson, who was phenomenal last year as a true freshman. Then on the weak side, we've got Cash Maluia coming in on the other side. And, you know, you got to love Logan Wilson right there. He was so terrific as a freshman, and he was a difference maker in at least one game last year. It's going to be, you know, it'll be great to see what his maturity over the last year, you know, if it's, you know, if he'll hit a sophomore slump or if he's going to keep progressing into a top flight Mountain West linebacker. I think he might have even, if I remember right, was like on one of the Mountain West preseason lists for maybe at his position, maybe.
He most definitely was. And I don't remember because they released those like in what? July these days. But I do believe he was on there. He was the Mountain West Freshman of the Year. And he's moved to middle linebacker, which is going to be the signal caller of the defense. And Coach Bull talks very highly of him. And you saw the playmaking ability, and he's going to be able to make even more plays because, as you know, in the Tampa 2 system that we run, that middle linebacker has to carry cover, I mean, a lot of ground. And he's athletic, so I think his interception numbers, I think what he had, two or three big ones last year alone, I think he's a guy who could have four or five picks this year as a middle linebacker. Think about that.
Well, he had, if I remember right, he had one that he returned for a touchdown at some point last year.
Yeah.
I think if I read the press release right, he's like the first Wyoming-born captain since Chris Przinski.
Okay, yes, and I was going to mention that he was voted a captain by – actually, I don't know. Did the coaches select him or did the team vote on that? That's one thing I didn't read about. Yeah,
good question. I couldn't tell you that for sure, but I think I also read where he's like, you know, one of the first sophomore captains since like Brett Smith and Austin Carter Samuels.
Yeah, so it's a big honor for him.
Yeah, that certainly says a lot about him that, you know, the coaching staff and maybe even his teammates, you know, that's how highly they think of him. So,
no, that's good. Another one you mentioned there was the strong side, which is this nickelback position. So if you really look at this defense, it's kind of a – in design, it's really more of a 4-2-5 than a 4-3.
Yeah, it's that Sam spots, you know, kind of a flex position.
Yeah, it's kind of like that hybrid, you know, big safety, small linebacker. Mm-hmm. Type of thing, and it worked really well last year. We saw DJ May run that to a T, and if you saw the YO Nation mailbag, which is still up online on yonation.com, you'll see that I picked Jalen Ortiz as a guy who I think will be one of the big guys who makes a jump. I think he's perfect for this role. He is a former player at UCLA, came here, transferred, played in all games last year, really didn't get his feet wet, but now he's really taken a step forward. He was a three-star prospect out of high school playing his ball in California. Now he's here at Wyoming in his senior year. Actually, I said he's actually from Arizona, not California, my bad. But he did go to UCLA. So, they don't just hand out scholarships at UCLA, obviously. So he's got some talent, and I think he's somebody that you should look for.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he could be in for a very big season. He's going to have to be all over the field. We saw DJ May do it last year. DJ May was a great athlete, really good speed, athleticism. So hopefully Jalen Ortiz can slip into that spot without missing a beat right there and carry that defense, give Logan Wilson some help.
Yeah, and he's got the skills to do it because remember, he came to UCLA as a corner. He played safety for us last year, and so now he's playing this hybrid linebacker / defensive back role. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he can make an impact. Mm-hmm. The other thing on here, and I should have looked this up, the pronunciation on our stud linebacker, true freshman, from Sacramento. We'll just call him Ryan.
Yeah, I don't even know. I'm not even going to try it.
I know. Usually they put the phonetics on the depth chart.
Poor Dave Walsh, man.
No, he'll do it. He's fine.
He's always a pro, but he's got his work cut out for him this year.
Completely unprofessional for us, not to know the name. But good thing we're not professionals, isn't that right?
Enjoy your beer, Chad. I'll enjoy mine.
Okay. So the linebacker position's looking pretty good there. When we look at the cornerbacks and the defensive backs, that's where we're really loaded. And I think their pass coverage was so key. They're very good. But the problem was the defensive line and the linebackers couldn't get enough pressure to keep them in there. So I think with an improved defensive line, with a better defensive scheme with Scotty Hazleton, and I forgot to mention this, but today our friend Brandon Foster, the Casper Star, had a very good article on Scotty Hazleton and his philosophy and the themes that they've done to simplify the defense this summer. So you should give that a read to get yourself ready for the season. It was a very good article. But these cornerbacks, man, we're really loaded. We have four guys now who have played a lot of football.
Yeah, if you look at that too deep, I mean, there's a lot of juniors and seniors in that group. And, boy, it's been a while since we've had that problem.
Yeah, I mean, Rico Gafford played pretty well last year as a JUCO transfer, and he's a backup. Got beat out by Tyler Hall, who played some as a true freshman last year. He's really improved, according to the coaches. So he's the starting quarterback on one side. So you got Hall and Gafford. And then the other side, you got Antonio Hull and then Robert Priester, who are actually listed as co-starters. So they're both very good, kind of your smaller corners. Actually, all of them are. All our corners are under 6 foot, which is a little troubling. But, right, the big 6 foot guys and above who could run like gazelles, they're usually going to those BCS schools.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously returning is Andrew Wingard, who has found himself on a few of those preseason watch lists himself. You know, he turned in another terrific sophomore year and, you know, finished probably he was in the top 25 in tackles last year in the country.
Yes.
So another outstanding season for him. You know, I don't know what it is about that guy. He's got a nose for the football. He finds it and runs towards it.
He does.
He's like a dog on a piece of meat, man.
He is outstanding. And I think he's got obviously a really bright future. He's a junior year here. He's backed up by Tim Kamana, who's bounced around too. He's played some linebacker. He's back to safety this year. And then the other side, you got Marcus Epps, who's been a productive player. And then backing him up is sophomore Elijah Halliburton, who played some last year as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. So overall, man, you look at this defense, I think we have a chance to improve with the talent returning, with the experience they have, and then with a football coach in Hazleton who has a track record of coaching in this system.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to all start with Ioana Gaffin and Sydney Malaulu. It's going to start with them two right up front. You know, they bring the meat on the defensive line, and that's going to be so important for the team this year. You know, you saw the games against New Mexico last year that they just gashed us for four quarters. It was, you know, we couldn't stop them. And by the time we figured out how to stop them, we were down, 20, 30 points, something like that. That game was awful.
That game got ugly quick. And,
you know, really, that was the difference maker against UNLV, too. I mean, UNLV gashed us for some long runs, and I think their quarterback even took off on us a couple times. You know, so hopefully, you know, with a simplification of the defense that now they can, you know, shore up the edges to, you know, keep, you know, random quarterback from gashing us for 65 yards on a touchdown or, you know, the Lobos and Air Force's triple option from, you know, getting too out of control. You know, we did a good job against Air Force last year, but man, New Mexico, geez, that was a game we needed to win too.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we got the two guys at those, you know, the nose tackle and the defensive tackle, the two deep. So we got four there, but it should be noted that the coaching staff is also really high on a couple freshmen that have come in. So really, I think you're going to see possibly as many as six different people playing at those two positions. So we'll be able to rotate for once and not have too much drop-off because we're finally getting guys into the program who are big enough to play the position at the Division I level, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's been a big gripe of ours. You know, we could probably go back and look at podcasts from last year, the year before, or blogs or whatever, and I'm pretty sure that going into the season every single year, we're just like, we are so thin at defensive line. How are we ever going to survive this season if somebody gets hurt? And this is like one of those years where it's like, huh, well, I think we could probably overcome an injury and, you know, be okay. It's been a long time since we've been able to, like, not trip out about the defensive line.
Yeah. So there we go. So there is a look at the defense. We'll see. They have a tough task this Saturday because Iowa's going to play some smash mouth football. So we'll get to see how well they've improved in that run game going against a Big Ten school.
You know, if you think about it, this matchup is basically two very, very, very similar teams playing against each other. Very ball control type of football schemes.
Yeah, I would agree, but I think with the presence of Josh Allen, we're a lot more different than Iowa. Now, I don't know how they're going to play this year. They have a new quarterback that they just named this past weekend. But they're going to be pretty conservative with the ball. The guy they had last year put up good numbers, but, I mean, nothing like what we see with Josh Allen in our offense. They're a lot more conservative than we are, let's just say that.
Yeah. So, with that, let's migrate out of the offense and...
Yeah, let's get to it. Yes, yeah, so the offense, of course, we all know that the school's all-time leading rusher. Brian Hill is now playing some professional ball with the Atlanta Falcons.
Saw a great video of him today with one of his vintage Wyoming runs going around the edge and just tossing some defender on his back as he was running downfield.
I saw that, yeah.
Good to see not much has changed.
And, of course, we have a lot of wide receivers to replace. So, really, most of the offensive line is intact. Josh Allen's intact, of course. But we're losing pretty much the key running backs, our top two running backs, in fact, our top two wide receivers, and then our number one receiving tight end in Hollister, who's balling with the Patriots this summer.
Have you seen the Twitter account? That's the Hollister Twins Twitter account.
Yes.
That chronicles the life of Cody and Jacob Hollister.
It's a little, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
I think it's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. They do a lot of, they're like teenage girls. They do, I don't know. I guess it's a twin thing. I guess we can't understand.
I'll tell you one thing. They dress a lot prettier than we do.
All right. So let's, I don't know. Where do we want to start here? We want to start with the quarterback position. You want to talk about some of the running backs here? What say you?
You know, we know what we're getting with Josh Allen. We're going to get more of those plays that we watch over and over again. It's like, wow, that was really cool. I don't know anybody else that could do that. So we know we're getting there. Everybody on that watches sports TV knows what we're getting with Josh Allen. He's gotten a ton of press. I think I was watching something on Sports Center about him the other day. They had a nice good feature about him. Like we mentioned, you know, early in the podcast, he's been on quite a few of these ESPN type talk shows and interviewed by basically every media outlet out there, from Bleacher Report to SB Nation to whoever else. So, yeah, big things out of Josh Allen this year. He obviously, you know, had a big decision to make back in December, January. And we've all read, you know, he had a really hard time reconciling that decision and eventually came back to Wyoming. So another big season out of him, I hope. Hopefully he cleans up a few of those turnovers from last year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we kind of change the offense to go to, you know, a little more high percentage throws to kind of really pad his stats, get his NFL stock ready. But I think it would help the football team too, because we were a little too much boom or bust last year. And with basically a brand new receiving core, you're going to have to be a little more methodical. But I think, but again, you don't know, right? He's a wild card. I don't think you're going to be able to rein him in once he gets going out there. And it's,
well, and you know, one thing the coaching staff's really tried to focus on with him over the spring and summer is, you know, he made a lot of terrific plays, and some of those plays came at the expense of every normal thing you should do as a football player. You know, throwing across your body downfield on the run typically leads to disaster. And, you know, he was a little boom or bust that way, where some of those plays turned out were like, holy crap, that was the best play I've ever seen in my life. And another time he did it, you know, that was the last play of the Poinsettia Bowl last year, ended on an interception against BYU. So, you know, hopefully he can, you know, clean up a few of those types of plays and clean up that touchdown to interception ratio. And I think that would be tremendous on his part.
Yeah. So enough has been said about Josh Allen. We all know what we're going to get, and we'll talk about him plenty. So let's move on here to this running back position. And it is very interesting. We're going to be going basically to a running back by committee type of system. There's not going to be your bell cow running back who's going to get a majority of the carries. And right now, your starter is listed as Melo Hall, who is the 5'8", 190-pound sophomore out of Denver, Colorado.
You know, we got a 2-deep roster sitting in front of us, but the running back is a 3-deep roster, and it's basically three running backs built very close to similar to each other with Melo Hall, Nico Evans, and Kellen Overstreet. Kellen Overstreet coming back from a major knee injury last season. So, you know, it's good to see him back suiting up this year and hopefully ready to go for the season. But you look at that three deep right there, the running backs, and, you know, I think combined they will replace the productivity of Brian Hill. I don't know if we'll have, you know, Brian Hill's popping numbers at any individual in that group, but I think combined we will get that similar productivity and, you know, be able to run the football effectively.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, as you said, these guys are – they're a little on the small side. 5'8", 190, 5'9", 210, which isn't – I mean, he's a little short, but the weight's okay. And Overstreet plays bigger than he is, too, coming off that injury. So it's going to be interesting.
He might actually be bigger from last season, too.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how the carries are divvied out, to see the running styles of these guys, right? Because that's really what it's going to come down to. Who's good at, you know, getting outside? Who could run in between the tackles? Because Wyoming obviously runs a very diverse running game. They're committed to the run, so it's going to be very interesting to see how many carries these guys get, what the production gets. Let's say, what happens if one of these guys really steps up? Or are they going to start to get the bulk of the carries? These are all questions that we're going to have to just wait and see and find out in live games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, behind, you know, in front of them is Drew Van Manen and Jalen Watson. We know what we're getting with Drew Van Manen. He's the bulldozer of that group. And if I read Brandon and Robert's tweets correctly today, he's sporting a brand new Mohawk for this season. So
yes,
that's encouraging. Yeah, the fullbacks, you know, they've got a lot of attitude. They're a very good group of fullbacks. And, yeah, they're going to be a very important cog to getting these running backs out in the open.
Yeah, Watson's interesting because he's making the move this offseason from linebacker to fullback. So we'll see what he gets there. He's very athletic. He's very big, 6 foot, 250.
That's a lot of hurt running right at you.
Yeah. So we'll see there. But the fullback position, obviously, will be okay, and we'll see if maybe they get, you know, a little more on the offensive side, maybe a few more carries, perhaps, right? Without without the stud running back, maybe the fullback will carry the ball a little bit more.
You know, those goal to go situations always prime opportunity for a fullback to get his one chance at glory, as it were.
All right, let's look at the offensive line, which had a pretty solid year last year. Most everybody returns back. The only really person that we lost would be Chase Roullier, who's now playing for the Washington Redskins.
And looking like he may have a very legitimate shot at being, you know, on the 2-deep for the Redskins as well.
Yes, with his versatility. So let's talk about, we're talking about on the defensive side of the ball in the middle of it all was a Wyoming native. Well, how about this? As a true freshman, how about Logan Harris winning the center job, the freshman from Torrington, Wyoming?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's first of all, that's a big boy right there starting a center. He impressed the coaches this summer. I'm sure we're going to see a few growing pains with him, and it's going to be very, very hard to replace Chase Roullier, who I think had, what, like one holding penalty over the course of like 2 or 3 years. And
yeah, and he gave up, like, I think, like no sacks like his entire career.
Yeah, he, you know, that is unheard of production to try to replace. And, you know, if all progresses as it should, you know, we could see a 4-year starter here at center and perhaps, you know, have a very similarly molded individual in Logan Harris. You know, kid from Torrington, you know, that's some 3A football love right there.
Yeah, they're not cranking out a lot of Division I college football starters in Torrington. So great to see the Wyoming kids step up. And he really did win that job because they wanted to give it to Gavin Rush, who was in a similar position last year, won a guard duty as a true freshman. But he's going to stay at guard, but he is the backup at center. So we got Harris at center. You got Rush at left guard. And then at right guard, you got Caden Jackson, who played well last year as well.
Yeah, Caden Jackson, Gavin Rush, you know, a consolation prize for Gavin Rush, I guess. You know, you don't get to start a center, but you're going to start a left guard. Those three right there, I think, are going to be very, very good for us this year. That's exciting to be excited for them. Then, our tackle spots. We've got Ryan Cummings and Zach Wallace coming in there, and Ryan Cummings has a ton of starts under his belt already.
Yep, and he's coming off that injury he had last year, I think was a foot injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's good to go. He participated in camp.
He's one of Bowl's original recruits when he got here as well.
Yeah, and he's when healthy, he is a very good football player.
Very aggressive.
So is Zach Wallace. And then backing up Zach Wallace is Paul Schwab, another Wyoming guy, a walk-on, who has really improved. The coaches have talked about him. He is from Afton, Wyoming, and he's a sophomore.
Star Valley High. Those guys know a thing or two about cranking out some athletes.
And then backing up Cummings is a true freshman out of Wisconsin, Alonzo Velasquez.
Another, you know, true freshman that's made the two deep this year and should be, you know, he's a big kid, should be good for the Cowboys going forward. But that's two true freshmen making the two deep for the offensive line.
Yeah, so you'll see the main theme of this football team, which is really bodes well for not only now but for the future, is that both the defensive lines and the offensive lines have been shored up with size and depth. And that's what you need to have a winning football team. So, Coach, you're seeing Craig Bowles' vision finally coming to fruition.
You know, that's a true – there's a lot of college football fans and boosters and other people out there that are – they get a coach into his third year in a program and they're ready to fire him if the program isn't necessarily making the right strides going forward. And, you know, Craig Bowl went from, you know, what, like a 2, 3, 4 win season in his second year to 8 wins last year and a chance at the conference title game. And I'm sure after the second season, people are just like, you know, I think Bowl's not going to get it done. He needs to go. But as you can see in his fourth season, people are legitimately excited about this program. And the talent that we're seeing coming into this program is, you know, as an entire roster, probably the best we've had in a long time.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the tight ends here. We lost Jacob Hollister, as we talked about, who was really a great threat as a wide receiver, catching the ball. But right now, listing as a starter is Tyree Mayfield, who's played some in the past couple years. He's a junior out of St. Joseph, Missouri. And then backing him up is Josh Harshman, who played again the last 2 years. From Casper, Wyoming. And then we should note that the former quarterback from Gillette, who bounced all over, he went to a JUCO, came back to the team, right? We recruited him as a quarterback. Well, I think they moved him to safety. He didn't like it. He went JUCO. He came back, got himself into the mix as a tight end, but I think he hurt his knee. And so he's out for, I think, the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and he seems to have a position now that he enjoys. you know, he's obviously not going to crack that quarterback spot with Josh Allen and now Tyler Vanderwall, you know, sitting in the wings. But, you know, Austin Fort has a ton of talent, and he's an athlete that needs to see the field in some way. So I think tight end, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for him there to become a Jacob Hollister type of receiver.
Yeah, well, he'll have to get over that injury, and we'll see how it goes. So, again, yeah, how those wide receivers are – or, I mean, the tight ends. I keep saying wide receivers. Sorry. I don't know. Hollister was so good at catching the ball.
The way Hollister played, he could have been a receiver last year.
Yeah. So, yeah, not much more to say there. So, we'll see how the tight ends get along. Wide receiver spot, I guess one injury we'll note. James Price was listed as a starter, but he broke his collarbone.
Yeah,
so he's out for, like 6 weeks.
Yeah, not ideal, but, you know, it's an injury we'll overcome, and we've got depth there to replace that. So
That's right. So looking at the new depth chart here, you're going to see Austin Conway starting at one wide receiver position.
What an exciting player he's going to be.
Yeah, exciting. So he's going to get to see the field more this year. And then a true freshman, Avante Cox, is going to be his backup.
Yeah, you know, both of those guys, they're a little on the short and small side. But, boy, the way Austin Conway plays, I don't know if it matters. He's just so fast. Good hands, fast.
Yeah, and when you look at Avante Cox's high school tape, I don't know how this guy wasn't recruited by a bigger school. So it's the talent evaluation that this football staff has is really – second, next level.
Yeah, I mean, Avante Cox, you know, he just rolled into Laramie a few weeks ago, and he's 158 pounds. So hopefully he can play a little bit bigger than that and make some guys miss and get downfield. But, them being on the shorter side, you look on the other side, and it's C.J. Johnson and John Akwale, who are both 6'2", 204, 207, respectively.
Yeah.
We've got some size with those two.
And so I think they're going to play on the outside quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see Conway and Cox. When we go to these three wide receiver sets, I think you're going to get some major mismatches. And I think you're going to see a lot of production out of the slot position this
year.
Some
poor linebacker's got to keep up with Austin Conway.
Exactly.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah. So there we go. So, yeah, so the big question with this offense is how quickly can this all come together and how many points will they score? I think it's only natural that we're going to see a step backwards, at least for a little while, but maybe not. Maybe the magic of Josh Allen will keep us ticking along. It's possible. It's a quarterback-driven game. If your quarterback can produce and make plays, if he could raise the level of these guys, if he can pass, if his passing allows the defense not to stack the box, that helps the running game. So, again, I don't know. I'm really excited to see what this offense is going to look like.
Well, and we've seen that stacking the box against Josh Allen's stupid. So, stack the box on him, he's just going to run all over you. But, you know, it's a matter of the chemistry that he's been able to build with his receivers over the summer. You know, that's where the 7-on-7, you know, self-guided practices, you know, are going to be a help. And hopefully Josh Allen's developed a rapport with, you know, Johnson, Akwale, Conway, and Cox, and Price, for that matter, when he comes back, to be able to deliver the ball, you know, consistently every time to these guys, and, you know, they're all comfortable with how the ball comes.
And it looks like we lost Brad. Well, Brad was making a point about something. And Brad is back.
Hello.
All right. What point were you making before you were rudely kicked off?
It's a good question. Probably about the chemistry between Josh Allen and his receivers.
There we go. That's it. So, all right. Well, you know, technical things happen. Which was really sad because we're about to finish up.
Hopefully you didn't say anything bad about me while I was gone.
No, I was mostly quiet. It's the magic of editing. We'll edit all that nonsense out.
That's some awkward silence.
Yeah, it's okay. So, all right. Well, there we go. So we kind of covered. We came in and accomplished what we wanted to. Talked about the players. Talked about the expectations for both sides of the ball. And now is the chance where we'll get to see how it all comes together.
You know, there's one very important position group we have not talked about yet.
Are you going to talk about special teams?
Oh, yes, we are, because punters are people too.
All right. Well, I can tell you returning at place kicker is Cooper Roth, who has improved over the summer.
He was a vast improvement as a true freshman last year as well.
He was. He was an improvement over what we had. I was a little disappointed in him at times. But again, when you put a true freshman kicker in there, but he's improved. He's gotten bigger. His legs gotten stronger. He's more consistent. Bull says he's banding in from 40-plus pretty consistently.
He was actually improving as the season went along last year too. Improved, so I think we'll be a little bit better off in that position, and hopefully won't have to sweat out a triple overtime game again.
That's right. And then at punter, we have a true freshman from the Chicago area in Tim Zaleski, who's got a big leg. We'll see. The thing with any kicker is technique, right? And we'll see how he gets along there.
He's also a very, very big person at 6'5", 230. He could be tipping probably one of the bigger punters in college football.
Yeah. They said that when he gets a hold of him, he's getting up to 60 yards in practice, which I would believe at that size.
It's going to be hilarious when they send him on some fake punt and some guy tries to tackle him.
Yeah. I know that's true. That is a weapon, and he did play both sides of the ball in high school. So, no, you could. He's an athlete, so some fake punt packages could be in the mix.
God, that would be so funny to see a punter truck some defender downfield. I hope it's our punter.
Yeah. Let's hope that's the case.
Then, all right. Looking at the returners, there should be no surprise that Austin Conway is going to be your punt returner and Rico Gafford, your kick returner. A couple of very speedy guys that can get the ball downfield very quickly.
Yeah, and they did a fine job last year in those roles when given the opportunity. So there we go. We covered the special teams. You happy?
Punters are people too, Chad.
Okay. Take your Rich Eisen propaganda and get out of here.
I think Rich Eisen's mad at me.
Yes, he should be.
I'm sorry. I just don't care for that loudmouth guy with the basketball playing son.
It's okay. So, all right, boys and girls. So, yes, we're just days away from Wyoming kicking off another season. I guess savor every moment of this because it's not every day that we have a possible, top five, even a number one draft pick playing quarterback for us. So take the time, win or lose, enjoy these games. Enjoy Josh Allen.
Josh Allen played at USC. He'd probably be in the talk for the Heisman Trophy.
He would be, yes. So that is certainly the case. So, all right. So we plan to be here most weeks of this season. But I will tell you, we will not be here next week because I will be on vacation.
Who signed off on that?
Brad doesn't know about this, yes. God. So I'm on vacation next week, so we won't be with you, but when we come back next time, we'll have two games to talk about. It would be the Iowa game and the Gardner-Webb game, and then we'll be looking forward to our third game.
Oregon?
Which would be Oregon, you're right. So when we get back, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we should have a pretty good feel of what the Cowboys, might be looking like. I think Iowa's going to tell us a lot, and Gardner-Webb's probably going to be a whitewashing, but, that Oregon game could be a lot of fun in Laramie.
It certainly could be. So, all right. So, for Brad Reed, this is Chad Smith wishing you all a very good week, and we'll see you next time on the WildNation.com podcast.